It's Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you. So come on in and invite your family members and friends to join in with us for Bible study on tonight.
All right. Well, we praise God for each of you. We're certainly grateful for this day that the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. This is the 15th day of July. And I tell you, the temperature is agreeing with the fact that it is summer. And I think we may have reached 100 degrees today, did we?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It feels like it anyway, if we do.
Okay. But we praise God for God including us in this day. And we're certainly grateful for his keeping power and for him sustaining us in the midst of everything that we go through. We give him praise, honor, and glory even on a hot day. We thank him for all of the seasons of life because in the seasons of the year, because we know that we need all of them in order to be who God has called us to be and for us to produce the fruit that he would have us to produce. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
And so we give God praise. Is this your favorite time of the year? Is summer your favorite time of the year?
Summer is my favorite time of the year.
Okay, what do you like most about the summer that makes it your favorite?
I like the long daylight hours, that it stays light longer. The heat is something, you know, I could live without. It's really too hot, but I do like the summer and being able to have more daylight hours.
Okay. So that didn't say anything about being outside and going to the beach and being in the sun.
Oh, yeah, I like that too.
Oh, okay. Because most people, when they talk about summer, they talk about travel. They talk about the weather, being outside, you know, the ocean, the fishing, the expeditions, all of that kind of thing that you see differently in the summer than you do. My season, I believe, is in the fall of the year. I like that time of the year, and it's kind of settling and calm, and it's not too hot, not too cold. You know, something is getting ready to happen because things begin to change. And so, you know, as I was thinking about that, Lady Kim, so it is with the seasons of life, how we go through different stages. And I think when people understand and get an appreciation for that, they can almost anticipate what God is going to do. Even if it doesn't happen, you know that something is about to take place because of the different changes. You said, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that one thing we can always count on is change.
Amen.
And change will come. And so we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if we keep on living, we keep on trusting God, that we're going to see some changes occur and some changes happen in our lives and in our situations. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And I believe God prepares us for those changes, and he gets us ready internally, because many times we get caught up in what we see in the natural and we don't actually see what God is doing underneath, preparing us for the change that yet is about to take place.
Amen.
All right. Well, let us know you're getting a clear signal. Those of you who have joined us, we see a couple of people on. We also have several mediums where we are viewing, and somebody give us the thumbs up or let us know that you're getting a clear signal tonight as we prepare for this time together. We're going to, we finished Leviticus 27 last week. And so we did get a list of topics that we're going to try to discuss. And in light of this past weekend, well, I would say, when did that happen? Yesterday?
Saturday
with the ex-President Trump being shot. I guess it was, you would call it that, right?
Attempted assassination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On his life, we're going to try to deal with a few topics as it relates to politics tonight. And that's always a heavy topic of discussion, various points of views. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal. We see you joining. Just give us a thumbs up and let us know that things are coming in clear and that you can hear us. But we're going to talk a little bit about several scriptures tonight and then just kind of get you to weigh in. We're going to reflect on our time in Greensboro, North Carolina, as well as the experience that happened on yesterday at ATOP, we had a chance to view some of the service as we were traveling, making our way back from Greensboro, North Carolina on yesterday. But let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for giving us yet another opportunity to participate and be a part of what you are doing in the earth realm. We're grateful, God, for you continuing to sustain us and including us in your plan. We ask now, dear Lord, that even as we prepare for this time together, as we gather ourselves around your word, we pray that your word will indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We honor you tonight and we bless you. We thank you for just keeping us and sustaining us and using us even in spite of ourselves. And so now, God, as we prepare for this time together tonight, we ask that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Somebody give
amen.
God a thumbs up. I see several people are saying that the signal is coming in clear. Give God a thumbs up if you believe that he's able to sustain you and he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that you can ever ask or think. Somebody amen. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody help me tonight as we prepare. I tell you, Lady Kim, let's see, where you want to start? You want to start with Greensboro or you want to start with yesterday? You want to start with Greensboro?
Yeah, all right.
We were attending the National Convocation of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Amen.
That was our first time being in Greensboro.
That's right.
And we drove up and we went took two different routes. I think the route going was much longer than the one coming back. Would
Amen.
You agree with me on that?
Yes, I would. Yes.
And so,
much longer.
It was a rich experience for us. The Convocation of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, that's the black constituency of the Christian Church mm-hmm. where all of the black disciples gather twice a year, every other year. And we haven't gathered in 6 years due to,
Since 2018, they said, yes, 6 years.
Okay, all right. I was trying to do the math as you corrected me, I'm just making sure. So it's 6 years, it's been 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what, and you made me lose my thought there, but part of what happens with the Christian Church convocation and the black constituency of the church is that we gather to make sure we reinforce and we reaffirm our faith in the Lord and make sure that our participation is at a point where we are not only just feeding into the larger body of the church, but we're also making sure that specific needs are being met in terms of the African-American congregations and also talking about ways in which we can be more effective in ministry, opportunities that's available for growth and development, for training, and all of those things exist. And it gives us an opportunity to really, it's a time of fellowship, it's a time of worship, it's a time of gathering insight, it's a time of growth and learning for black disciples, and it feeds us in terms of what we need to do once we get back to our congregations and how we can help enhance the ministry that we represent at a larger scale.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
What else would you like to add in terms of what you see the business or the, we have business meetings and we have all of that that happens. We have resolutions and we have reports coming in from all of the different constituencies that represent the disciples' churches throughout the convocation.
Amen. And we were also able to glean a lot of resources
mm-hmm.
that are available to all of the churches throughout the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. There are many, many resources, valuable resources that churches can tap into in
That's
order
right.
to be greater as churches. And so a lot of information and a lot of fellowship time mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was almost like a family reunion, getting to see people that we had not seen in a number of years, as well as hanging out with some friends of ours.
That's
so
right.
It was a good time in the Lord.
That's right. We had some powerful worship experiences.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jackson preached the opening night. Of course, many of you are familiar with him. And then Dr. Cynthia Hale from Atlanta, Georgia, the Ray of Hope Christian Church, preached a powerful word on Saturday night, I believe it was. And then the Reverend Bishop William Barber came and shared with us about the Poor People's Campaign and how important it is for us to gather and understand our significance in this election and how our vote really matters and how it's important for us to get the word out and not to sit this one out and not get so caught up in what we see in terms of what may look like something that we don't agree with. But I tell you, it's a lot going on. And then just that that Saturday as we were gathering for the banquet, we got news that former President Trump had an assassination on his life and how it was inches away from him, of course, perhaps being fatal.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of looking at that. We have a banquet with the convocation, and we were sitting there, and one of the fellows was sharing with us the news, and I think you had gotten the news feed about it earlier. But all of that just kind of turns the tables and really turns up the fire in a real sense in terms of this whole political race. And the Republicans are gathering now in Milwaukee for their convention. And this just kind of led into all of that. And it's just been a whirlwind of different things that have come as a result of this young man trying to assassinate ex-President Trump. And so Dr. Barber shared some real interesting insight in terms of numbers and what we can do in terms of the underclass and the underserved to really push this particular election over the top. If we but get everyone out to vote and those who are disenfranchised and have, you know, not really participated in the process. And I think you have to be 18 years old now, is that correct, to vote?
Yes.
Even the young people can cast their vote. And it's not so much about a person as it is about a process. And it's not so much about a party as it is about some of the things that Donald Trump and his party stands for that will really set not just African Americans back, but all of us back in terms of some of the things that he has on the table if he's elected.
Amen.
And so we're gonna spend a little time talking about that tonight. But the convocation was an exciting time. We had a chance to spend some time with Dr. Crystal Williams and fellowship with her for a while, and we also had a chance to spend some time with all of our friends from Los Angeles, Terry Hart Owens, the president of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ throughout the United States and Canada. She was there and her husband, and it was just a great gathering. We probably had one of the largest groups, with the exception of the North Carolina group from Tennessee, that was present for the convocation.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our own members, of course, besides us, Dr. Deborah Reed, and she shares on the board. She was present, and so we had great representation from ATOP, as well as from the state of Tennessee. But Lady Kim, that was a long drive, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness, it was a long, and it was even longer for you because was not feeling my best.
That's right.
But he drove all the way.
Yeah.
And so God was merciful and he got us there safely. And so I just thank God for you
all right.
Being able to endure the long trip driving It took us about 12 hours to get there.
With the time change and everything.
Yes, with the time change, it was like 13. But it took us about 12 hours to get there. But coming back, we, like you said, we went, came home a different way and cut a few hours off.
Yeah, about 10 hours, 9 hours coming back.
Yes.
What'd you say, 10 hours?
Yes.
And, you know, as you were saying that, something leaped in my spirit, because many times we want to try different routes in life, and we want to go different ways. We want to experiment and try new things. But if you stay the course, if you go through, if you follow the straight line, you know, if you do what God requires of you, you too can go back home a different way. I said a mouthful right there, so. I don't know who that word was for, but, you know, you don't always have to go back the same way that you came. You can go back home a different way. And so when we experienced that, we saw that it was much easier for us to get to our destination. Which one is it?
Destination.
I said designation and how about, hey, glory. I felt something right there. But we got back in a good time. Driving, you know, over too much over the limit, but we made it back, and Lady Kim participated and helped and assist with that drive back. And I think that was really, as I told you in the car, that was really the difference between going and coming.
Mm-hmm.
When you have participation and when you have somebody else who can pick up the pace and ease some of the strain.
Okay.
Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
So you're good for about
an
hour. You're good for an hour. We can always count on at least an hour wherever we go.
Come on now, you got to give me more credit.
But you did
than
about
that.
Three. You did about three. I don't know if it was 3 or 4 hours mm-hmm. yesterday, but you really were. You were the one who pushed us over the top.
Okay.
All right. So we praise God that you're feeling better and that you're up and about and you're doing much better. But it was a rich experience for us in Greensboro. And it's a place where I probably would go back and visit again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we ventured out, tried some different things, went to a little restaurant. It was called Lucky 32, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Lucky 32?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it's kind of similar to Seasons 52. But we called the brunch menu and settled for that. And it was a good experience for us. But we went to a little seafood restaurant that Friday night, right?
Yes, black-owned restaurant.
Black-owned, mm-hmm. And it's called Seafood Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
A black pastor in the city owned it. And it's a small place, but I tell you, the hospitality and
the atmosphere was wonderful.
And they even, another group was there, a church group, while we were there. And they were they praying and singing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. The food was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the best that I've had in terms of the crab legs. But it was good. It was okay, you know. I think we got some spots here in Memphis that could probably shine a little bit better.
Absolutely. But it was, I enjoyed the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
The spiritual atmosphere.
And supporting a black-owned business.
Absolutely.
Even away from home. And so after that, Lady Kim, we were on the road coming back, just kind of giving a recap. We were coming back and had a chance to pick up the worship experience. And I tell you, you know, before I say anything about Minister Mary Shotwell, I just want to praise God for how he has placed around us some incredible, skilled, and gifted individuals to really carry the ball and to really bring different perspective and different personality and different styles of getting the word out so that people can see and hear something different. The Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so I think when we're on one accord and when we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're all in one place and on one accord, some powerful things will happen. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Yes, absolutely.
And Minister Mary Shotwell, I don't know if she's on tonight or not, But she did a powerful prayer, and the title of it was Ceaseless Prayer. Ceaseless Prayer. And she continued the theme that we have been talking about for the past several weeks now, with the exception of the little short mini-series that I did in the parable of the prodigal. She really, in my opinion, gave us a teaching moment and did several stories to help kind of tie in her points around being, what was it, peace and then patience. And I really enjoyed what we were able to hear. It was going in and out as we were going through different areas in the travel back. But she started out talking about Paul and how his persistence and how his consistency in terms of his prayer life was one that really propelled him, even in the face of greater odds. That one particular verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you're very familiar with it. It says, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And she really talked about how we need to have the kind of momentum that's necessary to be consistent in our prayers. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're praying and we're on our knees 24/7, but there ought to be something on the inside of us that sparks a conversation with God throughout the day.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so those two passages of scripture that she preached from was 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and you've already mentioned that one where it says pray without ceasing. But she also talked from Philippians 4:6-7, where it talks about be anxious for nothing, mm-hmm. but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where she honed in on that peace and mm-hmm. the patience,
you know. That's right. That's right.
And that we need to pray without ceasing. And just like we don't cease living when we pause in breathing. You know, when we breathe, there's a moment in time where we cease breathing, but then we pick right back up. Because somebody once said, well, how can I pray without ceasing? Just like you breathe without stopping breathing or dying in between that pause. And even in music, you have those pauses or rest. And it makes things much easier, much better, much more palatable. And so we pray without ceasing. That means we pray in season and out of season. We pray with supplication and thanksgiving, and we pray for forgiveness. And, you know, there are lots of different types of prayers. Whatever you're praying for, you need to pray without ceasing.
That's good. That's good. And I think one of the stories that I remember, she said she was going to the grocery store to pick up some items. And her husband had mentioned to her, and she looked in the refrigerator, however it went, about there being a shortage of turkey, and how she became distracted in the store. Did you hear that when we were coming in?
Yeah.
And when she got back home, she put the package in the refrigerator, and her husband came down and asked her where was the turkey. And she said, in the refrigerator. And come to find out, as a result of her distraction, it was ham instead of turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with us. If we allow the enemy to distract us and throw us off track, we'll end up reaching for the wrong thing, and we'll end up grabbing the wrong thing. And we have something that we thought that we were supposed to have, and it's a value, but it's no use to us because that was not what we really wanted or needed.
Absolutely.
And what else you about to say?
No, that's what I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so it's not that ham is a preference for some people,
mm-hmm.
but just like turkey is a preference for me, I don't really eat ham. I'll taste it, but I prefer the sliced turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a taste, and it's just something that You know, and people have a preference, but I probably wouldn't have been as easy as a husband was if you had brought ham back and no turkey.
But the thing is, it wasn't intentional. She got sidetracked.
Right.
She meant to pick up the turkey, but it instead picked up the ham. And so, just like you said, distractions, when you get distracted or when you get sidetracked, mm-hmm. you can get off track and pick up the wrong thing.
That's right.
So make sure that you stay focused.
That's
I think that's the main point.
And don't become sidetracked by side issues. And so it's almost like when you're going through the fair or through the carnival, you can get thrown off track by all of the side issues or the side things that happen and never get to the main course or the main event of where you're
the
really
side
going.
Shows.
The side shows,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's the way it is in life. Some of us get swallowed up by all of the distractions and never really get to where God is trying to get us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll settle and we'll settle for substitutes and never really enjoy the thing that God has waiting on us beyond what we've settled for.
Mm-hmm.
God has not called us to settle. God has not called us to, be nominal in our approach and to him, but he's called us to be the head and not the tail. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching a little bit better than y'all saying amen now. Y'all ought to help me tonight. But many people have settled for substitutes and they've never been able to experience the realness of what God has for them. And you have a date with destiny. And so it's important that you stay focused in your pursuit to please him and allow that prayer engine to be the driving force that gets you to where God would have you to be. It's all about relationship. It's all about being in proper relationship. And so Mr. Shotwell really did that a great service in terms of sharing with us and using various examples of how it's relative to our own lives. And she talked about Paul and his struggles, but how he may remain persistent mm-hmm. in his focus to please God.
Amen. And one of the things I liked when she started talking about the former Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's name before his conversion was Saul,
right.
And how he used to persecute Christians. But once he was transformed, once he became a Christian, he went after the things of Christ just as vigorously as he had when he was persecuting the Christians. And I think once we make that turnaround in our lives, once we realize that Jesus is all we need, God is all we need, God is all we have, really, and he's all we need, once we make that transformation, we ought to be just as vibrant and vigorous about pursuing the things of God, just as Saul or Paul was.
Okay, that's great, that's great. And then after the worship experience, of course, we saw where two people came forth and joined the church and was willing to place their lot at Anointed Temple of Praise. And we're excited about that, the Lord adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Dr. Butler did an excellent job in narrating, and she was really the point person for the whole day, and then preached at the,
nursing
home that afternoon.
Yes, and, I heard it was phenomenal,
yeah,
too.
And we saw the pictures that were posted, and even though we were not there. And so I'm just so excited. And it was a good representation from the group that went to share. And we have a group at the nursing home that they're waiting to see us,
yes,
when we come, and they enjoy the worship experience. Dr. Butler, thank you. You did a great job, and you stayed the course, and you followed the instruction and direction of the pastor, and you didn't try to improvise. No, I'm just joking. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate your leadership in making sure everything was handled, and we know you did a great job with that word. You sent me a copy of it, but I didn't get a chance to hear it in person, so thank you so much for your leadership. Somebody say amen. Somebody, amen. Let's give God a couple of thumbs up there. I believe Dr. Butler's on, and we praise God for her leadership and for Minister Mary Shotwell and for all of our officers and all of those who served. Everything flowed. Everything was in place. And so we're grateful that we have people who are really skilled and they have the gifts to really maintain and hold the ministry even when in our absence. Amen. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, and we're thankful for that.
We're grateful. That's right. Early voting has already started, and so we hope that many of you really participate in that. Of course, we are our early voting site during the week is from 11 to 7, and I think on Saturdays it starts like at 10, from 10 to 4. But make sure you do cast your vote and also participate. And then even on the heels of us talking about prayer for the past several weeks, we have a prayer breakfast that's coming up on the 27th. Is it 27th?
27th.
And look, here's what we want to do. Now, we already, I know we have at least 75 people who are going to be there, but I want at least five of you to go ahead and get at least five additional tickets and give them away to people that are not members of the church that you might know of. I'm going to get two and give to my neighbors right down the street and invite them, and then my next door neighbor. He might not come, but you know, I won't know unless I extend the invitation. So that's three tickets right there. What are you going to do with the other two, Lady Kim?
I have some people at work that I can give them to. As a matter of fact, when I was in Greensboro, I had three tickets in my purse, and mm-hmm. I invited a couple of people from Memphis, from one of our sister churches, to come, and they said that they would be
there. That's right.
So I gave two tickets away at the convocation on Saturday morning.
Yeah, we had a breakfast at 7 a.m. early that Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Ministers and spouses, was it breakfast?
Yes.
And so those of you who are viewing, we have probably about 10, 11 people on the Facebook side, and we know we have people on the streaming side. Let's go ahead and make this the best prayer breakfast that we've had. It's sponsored by the Intercessory Prayer and the Women's Ministry.
Right.
But it's open to everyone to participate. Lady Kim is going to share a word, and we're going to have different people praying, and we're going to have, I believe the menu calls for some waffles and wings, if I'm not mistaken. Wings and waffles.
I think it's chicken and waffles.
Okay. Well,
chicken wings, whatever
you want to do. But
hopefully there'll be some wings.
Yeah, I want a wing. I want a wing. So that's a sign. That's a hint right there. But we're looking forward to that. And so those of you who can on this Sunday, go ahead and get those extra tickets, even though you've already got secured one for yourself. We want to also allow this to be an opportunity for us to invite others to come. And so we're going to make sure that we utilize those, and we might get some extra ones because you got enough people that on your job that you're going to use those extra ones that you already have.
Yes, yes. Okay. So make sure you just purchase as many as you can and invite some people to come and be a blessing to somebody.
That's Amen. Right. That's right.
A lot of times we think about me, my four, and no more.
Right.
But buy two or three extra tickets and just give them away and be a blessing
That's
to someone.
Right. That's a good conversation piece. And then you can go ahead and invite them to a breakfast, and hopefully they'll feel the Spirit moving and want to come back that Sunday to participate Amen. And be a part of the worship experience.
Amen. It begins at 9 a.m. on Saturday, July the 27th, 9 a.m. So we're looking for you. You must have a ticket in order to attend. So get your tickets prior to the breakfast on that Saturday.
Okay. We had a chance, Lady Kim, to meet the new pastor of one of the churches that we pastored in Flint, Michigan. And man, he was so excited, and mm-hmm. I tell you, he seemed like he's got a lot of energy, and he's a smart young man. Mm-hmm. And they were a couple of the members from in Flint. They said, "Make sure, Pastor, that you meet our pastor." And he was saying, "They told me I can't come back home unless I get a picture with y'all now, because it was a great time, and we saw so many people that we hadn't seen in a while, and we praise God for that.
And met several new people other churches.
That's right.
Too.
That's right.
Some churches.
Chicago
area.
Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a great time.
That's right. That's right. Well, Lady Kim, here's what we're going to do tonight. Now, we had a series of topics that were presented to us on last week about what people wanted to hear and what they wanted to share and participate in. I think you have it on your page from last week. But I looked at some of them, and I think most of them had to do with relationships and then the yes and no of God and mm-hmm. waiting on God and fasting and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And with the political climate the way it is, and with all of the things that we have seen in the news here from yesterday, from Saturday all the way through today, I think it's important for us to just kind of bring some sense of clarity to what our role is and what God expects of us and what our behavior should be in light of all of the things that we see happening on the political spectrum. I talked a little bit about, the medium road or what did I call it? How we have to have some kind of middle ground as believers. And when we were talking about, is that the word I used in terms of understanding this whole climate and not allow the, I'm trying to think of the word. It wasn't middle ground. It was how we need to have balance. I think that was part of it. Or what's the really common denominator for us as believers and our reaction and our behavior as we deal with all of the different things that's happening around this political climate. We know we should get out to vote. We're clear on that. We know that protest and also participation in the electoral process is important. And many times it calls for us to engage in such a way where we try to get our points across to those that are not feeling the same way we are or believing the way we believe about a certain thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so we want to look at this scripture tonight in Matthew's gospel. Just one verse, and that's the 11th chapter and verse number 12. And you've heard this scripture before, and we just want to share a little insight in terms of how this applies and what are some of the implications in terms of our reaction and our behavior around politics in this climate that we find ourselves in. Can you read that scripture for us, Lady Kim?
I need to read it in another translation because the one that I have.
Well,
okay, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, mm-hmm. and the violent take it by force.
Okay, that's a Matthew the 11th chapter and verse number 12. Is that correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
And I think another translation, and I know you probably were going to share that, but it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. Mm-hmm. So that's another translation of that. But when we hear it, mainly what we hear is that the kingdom suffereth violence. Mm-hmm. And the violence take it by force. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I think, you know, that particular passage of scripture has been misconstrued or taken out of context, so to speak. We can look at the events of January the 6th, mm-hmm. where people took that particular scripture and said, you know, that we have to take back what belongs to us by force.
Okay.
Even though the former president did not win the election, they felt that they had to go in and take what they thought was theirs. And so I think a lot of times we think that that's what this particular scripture means, that that because the kingdom of God is of such that we have to retake things by
force.
By force or by violence.
Okay. Well, before we really, and we're not trying to, you know, there are various ways to interpret this particular scripture, as you indicated, and many of them have been taken out of context, and people look at it as, all right, it's our time to engage in violent activity to take back that which is ours, right?
Right.
But see, this scripture, first of all, is for the believer, and it's not for the non-believer.
Right.
We need to be clear on that, because many times those who don't even believe or, you know, accept the ways of Christ, they will try to use this as a means for violent force in terms of taking back that which they feel rightfully belong to them. And they're not necessarily a believer.
Right.
Would you agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
And yes. So I think this scripture, really, if you look at it and you have some information there, it's dealing with and it relates to the challenges faced by those seeking to uphold and promote righteous principles in a world filled with corruption,
right?
In a world that's in conflict and in the political arena, as well as in the society in which we find ourselves in, because many times we are facing oppression and resistance just because we are a soldier in God's army.
That's
and
right.
We are a believer, and we're trying to live by the principles and the mandate that the Word of God has already decreed that we should live by.
Amen. And Jesus came into this world to right what had been made wrong.
Okay.
And so when it talks about the kingdom suffering violence, it means that when Christ came, he introduced to the world a different way, a new way. And because he came in and presented something different, there was a violent tendency towards those who were in opposition to Jesus to want to war against those spiritual principles. And so because the spirit realm is where God exists, and the natural realm is where he placed humankind, and they are in an endless battle one with another, not against flesh and blood, but between the soul and the spirit.
Wow.
Between the earthly and the heavenly realms.
Okay, okay. And I think Dr. Hale preached a powerful word on that Saturday. Was it Saturday night?
Friday night.
She talked about Nehemiah.
Yes.
And how he was faced with opposition for trying to do the right thing.
Yes.
And she talked about how when we're successful in life and when we are trying to do what God requires of us, there will be opposition.
Always.
There will be challenges. There will be those opposing us and trying to make us come down from the wall.
Absolutely.
Nehemiah was doing a great work.
Yes,
and
he
said, I will not come down from the wall. But the enemy was trying to distract him and trying to cause him to lose sight of the focus. And they were more violent against him than he was in terms of trying to, as this scripture says, suffer violence, and the violence take it by force. He was not putting up a forceful retaliation against those who were opposing the great work that he was doing.
That's right. That's right.
And so I think the principle here is for us, Lady Kim, is that we're going to have some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be faced with opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
And there are going to be some things that really are going to get under our skin in such a way where if we're not careful, we'll try to be forceful in the natural rather than being forceful in the spirit.
That's it. And what it really means is that our faith is the weapon in spiritual battle.
Okay.
Our faith is a weapon.
All right.
You know, it says that, that we wrestle not against mm-hmm. flesh and blood.
Yeah.
But against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm. Principalities. Rulers of the darkness of this world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a physical fight.
Okay.
But it is a spiritual fight. So we have to fight in the spirit realm with spiritual things.
Okay.
And the first spiritual weapon that we have is prayer.
That's right.
So we have a work to do. With this upcoming election, we have a couple of works to do. First, we have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray in the spirit. Pray out loud. Pray corporately. Pray privately. Pray with intercessors in groups. Whatever kind of way you need to pray, we need to pray. And then the second thing we need to do is we need to vote. We need to get out and vote. Dr. Barber was there at the National Convocation, and he was talking about the Poor People's Campaign and low-wage workers and those who are uninsured and underinsured, and how single parents are working 3 and 4 jobs just to make ends meet. And he was saying that those who did not vote in the last election, the President Biden could have won by a landslide.
That's right.
So we need to encourage those who do not vote to get out and vote. Those who are 18 years of age, get out and vote. Get them registered to vote. This is a critical year. They talked about Project 2025 and the things that agenda will put in place. And so people are saying, we just don't like Donald Trump. It's not Donald Trump. It's not President Biden. It's the agenda that they're trying to push.
That's right.
So that the rich will get richer and the poor will be poorer. They want to do away with Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. They want to close the borders to illegal immigrants. This country was built on illegal immigrants. The Native Americans were already here, and people came over on ships from other countries and invaded this country. The people that came here that set up shop, they were the illegal immigrants.
That's right. That's
so this country is built on illegal immigrants or immigrants. So we know as African American people, we were brought over.
That's
we
right.
were immigrants. Legal or illegal, we were forced here to work. So many, many people, all these races, we have come into the United States. And now, because they feel like they're losing their power base, they are now trying to close the borders to those who are coming to seek the freedoms and rights that we have as Americans.
That's good, lady.
Yes, they need to come through legally, but we cannot shut them out because we weren't shut out.
That's right. So as believers, we have an awesome responsibility in making sure, as you indicated, that we vote, mm-hmm. we exercise our right to vote,
mm-hmm.
that we pray, and that I think Bishop Barber, as well as Dr. Hale, mentioned that God always has a remnant.
Oh, remnant.
My God. And so if that remnant would rise up and be responsible in terms of their responsibility, then this could easily be a landslide. It's not about the personality of Joe Biden, but it's about the principles. And this 2025, you look it up, you can Google it, and you'll see that it's an agenda that's really going to set us back. And you talk about the schools and about the loans and mm-hmm. about, you know, education.
Public education.
Mm-hmm. All of that is at risk and at stake in this election. And so you talked about how important it is for us to understand that the weapons of our warfare they're not carnal. See, mm-hmm. that's what the enemy wants to get you to mm-hmm. fall into a bag of trying to fight, you know, a physical fight, fight a spiritual fight physically.
Right.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
And many times we end up missing the mark because God has not called us to fight a physical fight.
Right.
But the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. That's physical right there, but they're mighty in pulling down of the strongholds. And so we have to make sure that we are in this whole mode, as Minister Shotwell talked about on yesterday, of ceaseless prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pray in the morning, pray at noonday, and pray even late at night. You know, we don't want nothing bad to happen to nobody. And it was sad to see that somebody tried to take ex-President Trump's life on yesterday, Saturday, whenever it was. Saturday. But we want to make sure that we stand in the gap as believers and do what we have been called to do. There's one more scripture, Lady Kim, as we're preparing to close. If you could turn to Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And we can share some closing comments around this whole topic of discussion. For those of you who have just joined us, we have been talking about the scripture found in Matthew 11 and 12, where it says the kingdom suffereth violence and the violence taketh by force, trying to put that in proper context in terms of what our role is as it relates to our behavior and how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in pulling down of the strongholds. So when we pray, we participate. When we vote, we make a commitment. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
And so Romans 13, 1 and 2, it kind of helps us in terms of our behavior. And you've heard this scripture, and many of you have as well. But share with us what that scripture says, Lady Kim.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished.
Okay. So it's not, the outcome is really not left up to us, mm-hmm. but the actions that we take and our behavior mm-hmm. in the midst of everything that's seemingly going the wrong direction, we have to realize that God is in control.
Yes, he is.
And we have a responsibility to do our part in order for us to get the kind of results that we're looking for.
Right.
Would you agree with me on
that? Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, and it's stated clearly here in this passage of scripture in Romans that we are to submit to our governing authorities.
Right, right, right.
And so we need to make sure that the governing authorities that are in place, that they have the policies in place.
Right.
That, or the majority of policies in place that will allow us to submit without hesitation or submit without
disrespect
yeah. or begrudging.
Right. So this passage also implies, and our time is getting away from us, that we have a role to play in mm-hmm. terms of our attitude and the importance of respecting and submitting, as you just indicated. And I think when it's a God-ordained work, then it's no problem with submitting to that.
Amen.
But
Amen.
When you see the attack, and it usually happens when we see the fight against good and evil prevailing in our country, those who are trying to uphold and live the right way in terms of what God requires, I just believe that truth crushed to earth will rise again.
That's the word.
And that God will see us through
it. Yes, he will.
And even though it may look like evil is on the rampage,
mm-hmm.
God is still in control. And that we can overcome. We can be victorious. We can be more than conquerors. And we can continue to use unwavering faith and believing that God's going to see us through.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. So if we have any prayer requests or praise reports, if you would put those in the chat, because I know we're getting ready to go to those in just a moment.
Right, right. So we're going to continue to talk about different topics that really are kind of hot button topics and discussions throughout the remainder of the summer before we jump into our next series of studies. I believe we're going to be in Numbers in the fall. Is that correct?
I believe so. Yeah. Yes.
And then we want to just spend some time, and I think relationships was one that was really kind of at the top of the list, as well as the one about fasting and healing the land and the yes and no of God, and what does it mean when God puts you in a waiting room? How do we respond when we come to a place where we haven't received? God always answers, right?
Yes, he does.
And he answers in different ways. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says yes. But sometimes God says wait.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to learn how to deal with all of those different areas. Because if we give up in the waiting part, then when God begins to open that door and release what he said he was going to do, and if we are not ready for what he has for us, we're going to end up
missing out.
And so we don't want to go through the motions and miss the master. We want to be on point in terms of our behavior and what God requires of us. And we want to position ourselves so that when the door is open, we won't have a problem of walking right in.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right. Amen.
Okay. Any prayer requests? Any comments you see that we need to lift up? I see several people expressing that they're glad that we're dealing with this particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
But are there any prayer requests that came through?
No prayer requests as of yet, but I have a couple, of course, that I want to lift up.
Okay.
We want to continue to pray for the family of Sister Evelyn Oliver,
mm-hmm.
And Brother Ellis Oliver, and the loss of Sister Evelyn's sister. That service was held this past Friday in Milledgeville, Georgia.
Okay.
And so her sister, Viola Stevens, was laid to rest at that time. We also want to lift up prayers for your family, my
mm-hmm.
family,
right.
In the loss of your aunt, Thelma Murray Myers, in Chicago, Illinois. The services are in pending at this time, but we know that she will be brought back to her hometown of Birmingham, Alabama, to be laid to rest there. So we will let you know when that service will be.
Yeah. And Aunt Thelma was, how old was she?
She was 95.
95 years old.
Years young. She has another sister.
That's right.
That's 100. 100 years old. Yes. Aunt Esther lives in Atlanta, Georgia. She celebrated her 100th birthday this year. And Aunt Esther is the last of your dad's siblings
that's, right.
that's still living. So we just thank God for Thelma Murray Myers' life. She was the spokesperson of the family. She would speak up, didn't mind speaking her mind, telling you what was on her mind and heart. Always had some wise or words of wisdom to share. Amen. I'll never forget what she told me about our relationship. Amen. Glory to God. And I'll just keep that under wraps. But she was quite an awesome
Oh, okay. So you didn't hear what I just said.
You want me to say it?
No, I don't. You have to tell me first before you just put it out there like that.
A breeze.
A breeze. All right. I have no idea.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right.
But no, we're going to miss her dearly because she was that person that even, I think she was perhaps even the youngest of the siblings.
She was.
And all of her brothers and sisters, just one sister left. She was very inspirational. And every time we would go to Chicago and I would preach, or we would try to get by there to see her and just spend a few minutes with her. But she would be dearly missed. We know that it's going to be a joyful celebration around God's throne when they all get together and begin to. That great cloud of witnesses, I believe that in my spirit. And so we praise God for her life. And our cousins, they have a rich heritage to continue to carry. And her daughter, Masakwa, is really already started carrying the banner years ago in terms of the African-American history and heritage. And she has a museum in Chicago. When we were there a couple of years ago, we went by. You remember when we went over to the museum?
Yes.
And she's doing an excellent job. And her husband, Pei Moon, he's one of the renowned artists. And I don't really know the exact title for his role, but he's a filmmaker. He's an artist. He's an
author.
Mm-hmm. And he's well known and well renowned in the city of Chicago and throughout the country for his participation in various black films and the arts and authoring books. And so they just picked up the mantle. They're going to continue to carry the spirit of Thelma Murray Myers on in to their destiny that God has placed over their lives.
Amen. And Aunt Thelma was also the great aunt of evangelist Jeannie Darlene Cleveland.
That's right.
So we want to mention that also.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, Reverend. Well, will you close us out with a word of prayer?
Sure. Let us bow. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have allowed us to see. We thank you for this Bible study on tonight and all those who have participated. Now, God, we ask that your choicest blessings be upon our efforts tonight. God, we ask that you would comfort the bereaved tonight and continue to allow us to go forth to be all that you would have us to be. We love you and we thank you. God, we pray for the upcoming election. We pray for your protection to be around President Biden and for former President Trump and all those who are associated with them, oh God. We ask that you would allow us, oh God, to go forth to the polls in a mighty way, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, and we know that you are in control, but we know that we have a work to do also. So allow us to stay on the prayer wall and allow us to move our feet to go to the voting polls. We love you, we bless you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. All right, well, we hope y'all have a blessed rest of the evening.
Good night, everybody.
Be blessed.